I'm reading this morning from the book of John, the first chapter of the book of John, verses 6 and 7. Now here's the title of the message, The Preacher, The Preacher. I wish that I had in my audience this morning every preacher in the United States, for that matter, the whole world, because I believe that I have something to say that we preachers need to hear. The title of the message is The Preacher and His Message. The Preacher and His Message. Now I'm reading from John 1, verse 6 and 7. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same man, this man John, sent from God, came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, capital L-I-G-H-T, that light. He was not that light. He was sent to bear witness of that light, that all men through him, that is through that light, Christ might believe. John, bear witness of Christ. John, bear witness of Christ. Now, it's clear from this scripture, if you read it carefully enough, if you listened while I was reading it, it's clear from this scripture that John's one mission, John's sole purpose of existing, was to preach Jesus Christ. I'm convinced of that beyond a shadow of a doubt. You cannot account for John except by looking to Christ. There's no accounting for John. The one reason for John's existence, the one reason for John's office as a preacher, the one reason for John's office as a forerunner, the one reason for John's ministry was to bear witness of Jesus Christ. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This same John came for a witness. That's why God sent him. That's what he came to do as a sole purpose for his existence, for his office, for his ministry. Now, I don't quite know how to apply this to all men, even all believers. But I do know how to apply it to those who preach and those who pastor. I'm saying this. We preach Christ and Him crucified. And that's our mission. And that's our objective. And that's why God sent us. Paul said that to the city of Corinth. He said, I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, I know that there are nations to be governed. I'm aware of that. But I believe God has given men gifts for that task, to govern nations. I know there are laws to be made and laws to be enforced. I know we've got to have policemen. We got fires to put out. We've got to have firemen. I know there's children to be educated. We've got to have school teachers. I know there's sick people to be healed. Got to have doctors. I know there are multitudes to be fed. Somebody's going to have to grow some corn and some cotton and some potatoes. I know that there are houses to be built and there are wars to be fought. But God has given men gifts to care for these necessities. But the business of those who preach is not to educate children and build houses and heal sick folks. It's to preach Christ. Now, the business of those who preach and who pastor is to preach the Word of God. That's what Peter said over there in the book of Acts when they were having all that trouble between the widows of these different tribes and nations, and the apostles were being their time taken up with taking care of these necessities. He said, why don't you folks appoint 7 men, faithful men, godly men, saved men, and put them over this business. And we will give ourselves to prayer and to the ministry of the Word and not be taken up with this business. God has gifted other men to take care of this business. As a preacher of the gospel, our business is Christ. There was a man sent from God whose name was John, and he was sent to witness, to bear witness of the light. And I'm saying the one reason for the existence of a preacher, the one reason for the existence of a preacher or for his office as a pastor or for his ministry as an ambassador of Jesus Christ is to give himself lock, stock, and barrel, totally and completely, as the fisherman said, hook, line, and sinker to the preaching of the gospel of the Son of God. That's his business. And when he tries to do anything else, He's an embarrassment to himself and to everybody else and a shame to God. A prophet is a prophet is a prophet. And his business is to preach the prophet's Lord. In 2 Corinthians 5:18, Paul said, all things are of God. All things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. We're not ambassadors of the government. We're not ambassadors of capitalism. We're not ambassadors of democracy. We're ambassadors of Jesus Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, God himself speaks to you by us. And he that heareth you, Christ said, heareth me. And he that despiseth you, despiseth me. Now, not he that despiseth you over your politics. Not he that despiseth you over your sectarian views. Not he that despiseth you over your prophetical views. Not he that despiseth you over your cantankerousness. Not he that despiseth you over your legalism. But he that despiseth you over the gospel of substitution, of God's grace, of God's mercy in Christ Jesus, he despises me. Oh, that if the preachers today would be about their Father's business, if they leave other people's business alone and get busy with their Father's business, I believe God would bless. I believe we wouldn't be in the famine that we're in. You say, we're in no famine, not of bread and water, but of hearing the Word of God. 5 years before that great old soldier Charles Spurgeon died, he made the following statement to that great Metropolitan Tabernacle. He said, brethren, he was then 53 years old, been pastor there since he was about 18 or 19. He said, brethren, I desire to be like John the Baptist. I desire to have as my thoughts and my ministry and my experience, I desire to have as my everything Jesus Christ and his gospel. My mind concentrated on him, on his sacrifice, on his death, on his resurrection, on his mediatorial office, and on his blessed return. And during the little time that I may be allowed and spared to lift up my voice in this wilderness, I would bear witness to the Lamb of God. The years may be short in which I may preach to this congregation. There were just 5 of them left. But he said, the years may be short, but he says, around the cross shall be to me the place of green pastures, and from the sacrifice of my Lord shall flow the still waters. Now, many others in our day are involved in other things. I leave them to do their best or their worst. But at least one determines to be separated to the gospel of God. I know no salvation except by substitution. And I know no substitute except Jesus Christ. That's my message, and that's the sum of my ministry. Oh, my brethren, basically, this is what the Scripture's all about. This is what the Word of God's all about. You want me to give you, just briefly, a shortcut to some comprehension or understanding of this great book, this great Bible of 66 books, Old Testament, New Testament? Let me tell you what it's all about. I'm not being facetious. I'm being honest with you. Let me tell you what it's all about. The Old Testament, 39 books in the Old Testament. The Old Testament says, someone's coming. Someone's coming. The 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, say, somebody has come. That's what they say. Somebody has come. And the epistles of Paul and Peter and all the rest of them, you know what they say? Somebody's coming again. That's what they say. Did you hear that? The Old Testament says, somebody's coming. He's coming. He's coming. It says it in promise, in prophecy, in picture, in type, in symbol, in every way. Somebody's coming. And the 4 Gospels say, somebody's already come. He's here. And the epistles tell me, somebody's coming again. Now I want you to look at that, those 3 things. First of all, the Old Testament. The Old Testament says, somebody's coming. That's right, someone's coming. Acts 10:43 says, to him give all the prophets witness, to that one who's coming. All the prophets. I'm talking about Moses, who wrote the first 5 books, Job, whenever he wrote David, the Psalms, the major, minor prophets, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Jeremiah, all these prophets, they give witness to him who's coming. After man fell, God created man, put him in the Garden of Eden, and made him a covenant of works with him, and man broke it, man fell, man sinned. But right after he fell, God began to reveal his purpose to save sinners. Right after man fell, I don't know, but shortly after man fell, God began to speak concerning a Redeemer, to speak concerning a Savior, to speak concerning a Messiah. God Almighty began to reveal his purpose to save men by his free grace through a coming Redeemer. He's called in the Scripture the Branch. He's called the Elect. He's called the Christ. He's called the Messiah. He's called the Kinsman Redeemer. He's called that Prophet. He's called a Priest. He's called the King of Salem. He's called all these different things. But God sets forth throughout, ever since man fell, God has been saying he's coming. For 4,000 years, he said, he's coming. He's coming. Someone's coming. Someone's coming to lift us out of our darkness. Someone's coming to lift us out of our spiritual deadness. Someone's coming to restore what we lost in the fall. We lost the way, the truth, and the life. And somebody's coming who will be to us the way, the truth, and the life. God was pleased to set forth his coming in promise, in prophecy, in picture throughout the whole Old Testament. God said this, the very first promise, Genesis 3. He said, this one who's coming. Now, you see, the Bible tailors a garment that will fit one man. If you want to find out who the Messiah is, who the Christ is, you take the Old Testament and you study that garment. It's tailored to fit one man. One man will fit every dimension, every picture, every prophecy, every type, one man and only one. And God said, first of all, he'll be born of a woman, but not just any woman, not an ordinary woman, a virgin. That's right. In Genesis 3:15, he said, this Messiah, this one who's coming, is going to be the seed of woman. Not the seed of man, the seed of woman. And he'll bruise the serpent's head. He said in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he said, the Lord himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. He said in Isaiah 9, 6, he said, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And his government will be on his shoulders, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. So he'll be born of a woman. Actually, when Eve had the first man child, when Cain was born, she said, I've gotten a man from the Lord. Many people believe she said, I've gotten the man. Well, she didn't have the man. She had a murderer on her hand. She had nothing but a sinner, just like his fallen daddy. But she thought she had the man. But she knew the man was coming. God said he's coming. He's coming. Not only will he be born of woman, but he'll be born of Abraham's seed. He'll be the seed of Abraham. Not only that, but God said he'll be the tribe of Judah. The scepter shall not depart from Judah till Shiloh comes. He's coming. Shiloh's coming. And he'll be of the family of Jesse. And he'll be of the house of David. And God said, I'll tell you where he'll be born. He'll be born in Bethlehem of Judea. You see, all that is about the man. Someone's coming. But he says he'll be a prophet like Moses. Moses wrote and said to the people, he said, one of these days, God will raise up from among the people that prophet. Like unto me, him you shall hear. Him you shall hear. That's what our Heavenly Father said of his son. He said, this is my son. Hear him. Hear him. Him you shall hear. He'll be a prophet like Moses. He said he'll be a priest like Melchizedek. Having no beginning of days or end of days, no mother or father, no lineage, no heritage, like unto the Son of God. Yes, sir. He'll be a priest like Melchizedek. Oh, Aaron's a type of Christ. Aaron's priesthood and the sons of Levi and all these fellows who went about the tabernacle offering sacrifices, but they're not a real good type of Christ, just a pretty good type. Melchizedek's a good type of Christ. Study Melchizedek. He'll be a prophet like Moses and a priest like Melchizedek and a king like David. A king like David. And you know something? Nobody in the Old Testament ever held those three offices. We had prophets, we had priests, and we had kings. Well, we never had a prophet, priest, and king in one. We got one, the Lord Jesus Christ. God said he'll be a prophet, priest, and king. Not only that, but he'll fulfill every Old Testament type. When they put the blood on the doorpost in Egypt, called it the Passover. Christ is our Passover. Whoever this Messiah is, whoever this Christ is, whoever this one is who is coming, he'll be our Passover. And then the rock in the wilderness, that rock's Christ. When it was smitten and gave forth water, he was smitten on the cross and gave forth life, the living water. The brazen serpent lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth on him should never perish but have everlasting life. The manna, the bread from heaven. He said, Moses gave you that bread, but you had to gather some the next day and the next day and the next day. I'm the living bread. He that eats of this bread will never hunger again. Just one feast. And then he's the tabernacle. A body hast thou prepared me. He tabernacled among us. Moses wrote of him. Abraham saw his day. All the believers of the Old Testament looked for him who's coming. And they died in faith, not having received the promise, not having seen his coming, but believing that he would. But they were everyone saved by looking to Christ. That's what the Old Testament says. It says it in prophecy. It says it in promise. It says it in picture and type. In the Passover, the tabernacle, the scapegoat, in the atonement, in the priesthood, in the prophetical office, in the kingly reign of David, wise men. He says somebody's coming who will be all these things in one, who will meet all our needs by one offering, who will satisfy all of God Almighty's law and justice and honor by one obedience. He's coming. Somebody's coming. And I'll tell you, you can watch old Abel go to his altar and put the blood on the mercy on the altar there, and he's saying somebody's coming. Somebody's coming. Well, then we turn to the four Gospels. And the four Gospels, what do they say? They declare that someone has come. Someone has come. Old John the Baptist, he was the last of the Old Testament prophets, somebody said, and he was languishing down there in prison. He'd had a short, brief ministry. He'd pointed out Christ, and he'd said, that's the Lamb of God. I saw and bear record, this is the Son of God. I saw heaven open and a dove ascend, the Holy Spirit ascend in the form of a dove, and I said, that's the Christ, that's the Messiah. But he's sitting down there in prison and he had his doubts. His mind began to doubt. He said, this is not just working out like old human logic thinks it ought to work out. And so he sent two of his disciples down there to where the Lord Jesus Christ was. And he said, now you go down there and ask him and tell you what you ask him. You ask him this, are you he that should come? The whole scripture says someone's coming. Are you that someone? Are you he that should come? Or do we look for another? Huh? Do we look for another? Well, John, lift up your ears. Let the angels of God answer that question. Are you he that should come? Are you the Messiah? Are you the someone? The angels of God came to Mary and whispered in her ear and said, you're going to have a son? She said, I don't know a man. They said, you're going to have a son without the aid of a man. The Holy Ghost will come upon you, and the power of God will overshadow you, and that holy thing born of you shall be called the Son of God. The same angel went over there to Joseph and said, don't be afraid to marry Mary. She's with child of the Holy Ghost, and you'll call his name Jesus. He's Emmanuel, God with us. They went out there to the hillside and spoke to the shepherds, and they said, go down there in Bethlehem. Unto you is born this day in the city of David the Savior, Christ the Lord. Let the Father himself answer you, John. The Father spoke from heaven on two occasions and said, this is my Son. This is my Son. This is someone. This is he who should come. Let the works that he does answer you, John. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the dead are raised. Be not faithless, but believe. Let the Scripture answer you. He died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again according to the Scriptures. If those witnesses are not enough, John, let nature answer you. The wind stopped at his command. Stood out there on the bow of that little ship while the wind was howling and dashing against that ship and lifting the waves 5 and 6 and 8 feet high. And he said, you be still. And that wind laid down at his feet like a shepherd dog obediently. The water held him up when he walked on it. And the fish brought a coin to pay his taxes. I like that. Our Lord was going to pay his taxes. And he told one of the disciples, said, go down there and pull a fish out of the sea, and he'll have a coin in his mouth and go pay my taxes. That fish had kept that coin for our Lord's taxes. And then the bread, he touched the bread, and it multiplied, and he fed 5,000 people with five loaves and two fish. The sun refused to shine when he hung on that cross. And when he died, the rocks shook, and the earth shook, and the graves opened. And even his own grave opened. Death and the grave couldn't hold him. Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor over the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose. He arose. Let Simeon answer you. Simeon said, I've seen thy salvation. Let Thomas answer you, and all the doubting Thomases of many years, my Lord and my God. Tell it here, tell it there, tell it wherever God gives you an ear. Someone has come. Someone has come who meets every jot and tittle of those prophecies and promises and types which say someone's coming. Someone's coming. And I'll tell you this, whatever Messiah you follow, whatever Messiah you worship, whatever Messiah in which you trust, he better fulfill every testimony, every prophecy, and every picture. Our Lord was talking to the woman at the well, and she finally just broke down. She couldn't handle the things he dealt with and the things he asked her. And finally she just broke down and she said, well, the Messiah's coming. And when he comes, he'll tell us all things. And our Lord looked at her and he said, I that speak to thee am he. I am. And he said on another occasion, he said, if you believe not that I am he, you'll die in your sins. My friend, that's my message. That's my message. Someone's coming. That's what the whole Old Testament says. That's what it's taken up with. That's what it's all about. Someone's coming. And the four Gospels say, he has come. He has come. All right, let me close this message with this. The epistles declare that someone will come again. After our Lord died on that cross and was buried and rose again, he gathered his disciples about him. And he blessed them. And then he was taken up, as they watched him, taken up into heaven, ascended back to the Father. And while he went up into heaven, and they stood there looking and gazing, those men in white apparel stood beside them, angels of God. And they said, ye men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you've seen him go. He said that to them before he was crucified. He said to them, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. I am God. He that has seen me hath seen the Father. I and my Father are one. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Hebrews 9 speaks of three appearances of Christ for believers. It says in verse 26, three appearances. It says in verse 26, once in the end of the world hath he appeared, in the flesh as a man, tempted in all points, under the law, all these things, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He appeared on the earth in the flesh to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Verse 24, Christ is now entered into heaven itself. Now, to appear in the presence of God for us as our forerunner, as our representative, as our surety, as our mediator, as our advocate, the one advocate between God and men. Now watch verse 28. Christ was once offered to bear the sin of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. He's coming back. Our Lord came the first time as the Lamb. Both of these comings are taught in the Old Testament. Both of them. And that's how the Jews got them mixed up. Talked about his coming as a lamb and coming as a lion and coming as a servant and coming as a king. And they hadn't even seen him come the first time. And they just got all confused about it. But he came the first time as a lamb to put away sin. he will return to this earth as the lion. I can't tell you when he's coming. Man, it'd be a fool to try to do that, only that he will. I can't tell you the events surrounding his coming. I do not know. I do know this. I do know when he comes, time will end. I do know when he comes, the dead will be raised. And we which are alive and remain shall be changed immediately. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. There will be a new heaven and a new earth. I know that, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And I know that Christ will reign forever, and we'll reign with him. And I know the wicked are going to be judged, and they're going to be put where they can do no more harm. And our Lord Jesus Christ must reign until he puts every enemy under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death in any form, in whatever form. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And I know this much. I know that God Almighty has decreed and determined that that's someone whom he said would come. And that someone who did come. And that someone who's coming again shall have all preeminence. All preeminence. And one day in heaven, earth, and under the earth. If that means hell, wherever. But in heaven, earth, and under the earth, every knee of angels and men and demons, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that he's Lord to the glory of God the Father. And that's my message to you. My friend, let me tell you this. I hear preachers saying, why don't you make Jesus Christ your Lord? Well, I'm not going to say that to you because he's already your Lord. God beat you to it. He's every man's Lord. He's Lord of the dead and the living. Here's the question. The question is not if you'll make him Lord, if you'll crown him Lord, if you'll bow to him as Lord. The question's when. When? Either now in submission, in faith, in surrender, in receiving him, or wherever, in heaven or hell. But every knee's going back. He's Lord. Now we have two messages on this tape. I preached one last Sunday on how to recognize God's elect, and then this one this morning on the preacher and his message. Send $2 donation. We'll mail you the tape. Both messages on one tape. Until next Lord's Day, may God bless you, is my prayer.